Hey, good morning, Sower Nation, friends of Jesus. It is Monday, January the 19th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. And it's a special Monday if you're living in the United States. It's a federal holiday. It is Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, the celebration of the life of the great preacher of the gospel and civil rights champion, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So we bless the celebration and memory of him, and remember his consequential life, and even still grieve his tragic death by assassination. And I'm sure there are all manner of breakfasts and marches. When I lived up in Kentucky, we'd take our kids out and go to a breakfast and do a march, usually in Lexington. And it was very, very good. It was full of peace and joy. And so let's mark that today. And if you're watching on video, you're noticing I've got an official sponsor today, Maycrest Hardware in Savannah, Georgia. I've talked about that family, the Cates and Nancy Carolyn and Kyle, and they gave me the taco sign back behind me over here. That's tomorrow. But, and Pete Cates, you know, has come to work for Seedbed, is just doing wonderful work for us. He's a super sower. And, maybe I'll say more about that at the end. Trying to get my dad over to sing today. Let's dive in to today's entry. But first, let's jump into consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We wake up. We grow up. And we light up. That's what we're doing today. Consecration, transformation, demonstration. That's the whole of the Christian life right there. You see it all in Ephesians 5:14. Isn't that amazing? Well, our entry today is entitled, When We Help the Poor, We Worship God, and Vice Versa. We're reading Proverbs chapter 19 today. Let's read the whole chapter. Listen to it if you want. We're going to focus in on verse 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. On the one hand, Proverbs seems to say in many places that people become poor because of unwise decisions, foolishness, folly, laziness, not responsive to correction, and so forth. On the other hand, a clear characteristic of wise people is the way they handle and help the poor. It's a bit of a conundrum. It seems the wise help those who make unwise decisions. Now, let's be clear. Just because a person is poor does not mean that they have made unwise choices. In fact, this is a point of deep, Holy Spirit-inspired self-examination for many of us. Those of us who are not poor tend to approach the poor with the prejudgment that they somehow deserve to be poor because of their unwise decisions. It's their own fault, we tell ourselves, in an effort to excuse ourselves from helping them. Get a job, we want to tell them. Proverbs shows us what wisdom looks like when it comes to the poor. Regardless of why people find themselves in poverty, it is a horribly unkind reality. Everything and everyone seemingly conspires against the poor. From today's chapter, we see this, verse 7. The poor are shunned by all their relatives. How much more do their friends avoid them? Though the poor pursue them with pleading, they are nowhere to be found. In other words, financial poverty creates the downward spiraling dynamics of familial poverty, relational poverty, emotional poverty, physical poverty, and on it goes. Poverty is a diabolical reality, and to the extent we judge the poor for their poverty, we perpetuate the cycle. I know I feel strength behind this teaching. At the same time, do we continue to pour water into a leaking bucket? One can argue that giving money to the poor also perpetuates the cycle. What are we to do? It's a terribly complex problem. Proverbs gives us guidance. For instance, it says, we probably shouldn't co-sign on any debts. Today's text couldn't be more clear, though. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward them for what they have done. We will do well to remember Jesus is poor. He translates the passage like this. Then the king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. That's Matthew 25:40. The biblical connection is undeniable. Helping the poor equals lending to the Lord. Wisdom makes sure the connection is undeniable in our lives. It's true. When we help the poor, we worship God. Given that, what does it mean when we don't help the poor? The prayer, Abba Father, you are the King of heaven and earth. All wealth is yours. Yet you chose to come to us in the form of a Jewish peasant who had nowhere to lay his head, who was born in a manger and buried in a borrowed tomb. Your mercy is truly a marvel. fill us with this wisdom to know that lending to the poor is lending to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The journal prompts today, why do we so readily justify ourselves for not giving to people who ask for our help and call that wisdom? What if we began to lend to the poor without expectation of repayment? What would that do to us? How might we learn to imagine the face of Jesus in the face of the poor? How would that change things for them, for us? Wow, that's challenging. This is challenging. You know, what to say about all this here? I do think about Dad. My gosh, that whole notion of lending to the poor without expectation of repayment. You know, there's something about setting up that relationship where you're not just give. I mean, it's fine. It's good to give, right? Just to give money to help people. But sometimes it's maybe more appropriate to lend people money. Don't charge them interest, but lend them money. And when you lend somebody money, the expectation is that they're going to pay you back, and that there's a way that that gives dignity to people. They sometimes aren't asking you to give them money. They're asking you to loan them money because they don't have access to borrow money. And it's not that you're saying you don't have to pay me back. You're saying, yeah, I expect you to pay me back, but then inside, you're like, you know what? I'm not going to carry an expectation. I'm not going to lord it over them and constantly carry that expectation and keep it before them that they have to pay me back. I mean, yeah, good. If they can, it'll give them a greater sense of dignity that they paid it back. I think the point is that if they don't, you forgive it. That's what I've seen my dad do so many times. I mean, he has loaned tens of thousands of dollars to poor people, knowing that they can't pay it back. That's the oppressive dynamic of debt. I mean, good Lord, you know, I've been in this situation where I've been in a real desperate financial situation because of tragic things that have happened. And I have been given money in the midst of that. Extraordinary help. And you know what I do now? When somebody asks me to help them, I do it. I help them. I help them. And at times people have loaned me money at no interest, a lot of money. And I'm paying them back. I still am paying some of that back from the difficult time I went through. But, you know, less than a decade ago. But the problem with debt is, and the problem if you don't have money and you borrow money is that you get way behind and you can't keep up. You can't catch up. And that's why forgiving a debt is a blessing. All right, I hear Dad coming in. We're about to start singing, so hold on.
Okay.
I told you Dad's here. He came in just while I was wrapping up there. And today in our entry, we're talking about helping the poor. And the Bible proverbs says, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord."
Amen to that.
And I was just remembering how many times and how many people, thinking particularly about Watson, you loaned money.
Everybody out there was me.
And how, you know, the Bible says lend without expectation of repayment.
I understand that, and that's true. But, you know, I can say this. I never turned anybody down. Now, if they wanted $5,000, I didn't give them that much, but I'd give them something.
And the thing is like when you loan people money, you're kind of giving them dignity.
Yeah.
Because you're respecting
them. They feel like they have earned it or they deserve it.
Or they're going to pay you back.
Yeah, right.
But, and yet you don't hold it over them.
No, they don't ever pay it back. They don't ever, I don't ever say, call them, say, okay, you owe me that $10. I never do that. They don't, if they hand me the money, I take it, but I don't ask them for it. And I'm just glad I can do it. And I haven't done it in a while because I hadn't been around them, hadn't been around out
yeah.
there.
Well, I just remember so many times driving down that road and their folks would just come out and flag us down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They just.
And I remember one time in particular, Dad, it was around the holidays, and one of them came up and they said, you know, Mr. Walt, I want to get something for my kids for Christmas, and I'm on hard times, and I need a little help. And I remember kind of chiding you, like, Dad, you're just pouring water in a leaking bucket. It's never good. you're perpetuating. I'd accuse you. I'm like, man, you're perpetuating the cycle. And I remember you looked at me and you said, John David, they want to get nice things for their children too.
That's right.
I never forgot it.
They did. And they probably couldn't get it.
They weren't going to be able to get it.
No, they weren't going to get it.
They're working. They just can't make ends meet. That's what poverty is.
And they can't. They don't know how to manage what they've got.
A lot of people struggle with that. It's a bad cycle. But what I've learned and I've observed by you is that you weren't perpetuating the cycle of poverty.
Mm-mm.
You were entering into the cycle of poverty with them. That's what Jesus has done with us. He came into it.
Yeah.
He came into it and went through it and came out on the other side.
And we hope we come out with him.
We will. Tell them what we're singing today.
I need thee every hour.
What's the number?
340.
All right, we're going to sing all five verses.
Yep.
That's a good one. And is there ever been a truer hymn written?
No. I need thee every hour is a fact.
It's a fact.
That's something that we do. We need thee every hour.
Yeah, if there was a hymn that said I need thee every minute, that's what we'd sing that one too.
That's right. We would.
All right, here we go.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I love to thee. I need thee every hour, thy mind. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Every hour I need thee, O bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Verse 3.
I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or thou's thy name. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, grace me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Teach me thy will and thy promises. In me fulfill. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Last verse, let's take it up a notch.
I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Amen.
That is, if ever a song was a prayer, that's the one, isn't it?
That's the one.
Every
and
hour.
You'd be surprised, the people that need God every hour. They may not sing that song, but we all need God.
We do.
It's just everybody needs him.
Everybody.
And, you know, he's easy to get.
That's right.
All you got to do is ask him.
Just call him up.
He's there.
He's there. That's so good, Dad. Well, I'm going to put a link in today's email to the Matt Maher, good friend, working to get him involved with us somehow in Lent this year. He wrote a modern version of this hymn, same words, pretty much the same tune. He put a wonderful chorus that I think you'll enjoy. So take a look at that. Well, it's time. It's Monday. It's a holiday. Of course, we're sowing today. All right. It's not a day off. It's a day on. It may be a day off of work, but it's not a day off of sowing, right? Bible gives us 6 days to sow and 1 day to rest. And so we got good sowing to do. You'll be out around people, hopefully.
Yeah, I'll be around some.
You can encourage today. So for the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
We'll see you on the field.